Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to preach kind of an offshoot message. I've been preaching through 1 John chapter 4. And we're at in 1 John chapter 4 about trying the spirits. This message this morning is on the subject of separation. And it's an offshoot and part of the doctrine of trying the spirits and believe not every spirit. And so we'll get to that in just a minute, but I hope you'll be turned there. And also you'll need to turn to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. I want to say it's good to see Ashley's folks with us from North Carolina. I didn't know you was here until I got up to sing. It's sure good to see you. There's other visitors here today. We're glad you're here. Some I know, some I don't know, but we're glad everybody's here. And regulars too, amen. And we've got some space right up here in the front. That's called the spitting on pew. And anyway, while it's up there, somebody needs space, while there it is. But we're glad y'all out today. Turn down the heat a little bit because it's probably going to get hot in here anyway. If I put you to sleep, I'll run back there and wake you up. It is warm. Anybody warm besides me? I ought to get a tan right here, I think. But anyway, and don't forget, now the 22nd of this month, that'll be about, 3 weeks from today, is Giving Sunday. And now listen to me. Giving Sunday, we've been doing it for a few years, and you think, well, everybody knows what to do. Number one, what you would have given in the offering, you give to somebody in church, but you do it secretly and you do it privately. If you're not going to do it secretly, don't do it. Would you please not? Because you just ruin the whole thing. If you're doing it to make somebody like you or for you to get praise, you're taking God's glory away from it, and the Holy Spirit pulls back and it just kills it. So don't do that. And But give what you was going to give, and if you want to give more, that's fine. But pray and say, Lord, you know, who would you have me to give? And so that way all the offering is given out to people and that the Lord puts on people's hearts. And it can be a blessing to you. And we'll bring your I will put my name in the hat for homemade bread. And where's Sister Lawson back there? She is in a backslid condition. She hadn't fixed her pastor any homemade bread for a long time. But those are good things, and jellies and cookies and whatever you want to make for somebody like that. You want to do something for people. I'll tell you what, it goes a long way toward helping people. And then right after, now here's how it's going to work. Everybody listen. We're going to do that first thing in the morning, 9:45. Band's going to have about 2 or 3, 4 songs, and we're going to have Giving Sunday. And so if you come in here late, you come in here at preaching time, all you're going to hear is Brother Larry Brown, and that won't be any fun. And so what I'm saying to you, Brother Larry Brown called. He can be here that day. I'm going to put him in the pulpit at about 11 o'clock. So we're going to have a Giving Sunday early, so you got to be here early. Okay, so everybody make a supreme effort to be here early. Has everybody got that day? When we have a Giving Sunday?
Early.
Early. All right, so we won't be taking no offering up during the singing time. So then this next thing, 13th of January, Brother Ronnie Simpson going to be here preaching revival meeting. I want you to begin praying and fasting with me, and I want God to. I may leave, I may not be here, I may get out of the way, let God work. I don't know. Might be right here hooping and hollering. I don't know, but I may take off. I seen a preacher do that one time when I was preaching revival, and I almost got upset. I pulled in there that night to preach revival meeting. His son met me. I was busy with him. I preached. I said, "Where's your daddy?" He's the pastor of the church. He said, "Dad's gone." "Your dad's gone?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "He went to Washington for a family reunion." I said, "He had me come preach revival, and he left?" He said, "Yep." He said he felt like God told him to get out of the way so he could have, so the church could have revival. We had 20 people saved. It went 2 weeks. He got back the second week and talked to me about it. He was in the will of the Lord, so I don't know where that's. Anyway, I'd like to be here, but anyway, we'll see how it goes. I won't be at the house. I can promise you that. I couldn't stand that. But anyway, let's preach this morning. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, remember, we're offshooting a message on try the spirits, believe not every spirit, so you don't get led out into a bunch of junk and false religion and all that kind of stuff. You've got to know the book, right? But there is a natural outcome of trying the spirits. Now watch this. If you looked into, you picked up a piece of tin on the ground in the hot July deal, and you saw a few brown leaves down there, and you saw a little pattern of a copperhead snake, what are you going to do? You're going to say, "I see him down there, but I ain't, let's just go ahead." You're going to do what? Pull back and separate yourself. Why? because you tried and you looked underneath there to see what was there, and your eye was trained enough to see there's a problem, and then you did what? Separated yourself from it. I am telling you, try in the spirits, believe not every spirit. God expects you at that point then to pull back from things that are not right. He expects you to understand the doctrine of separation. Now, you listen to me. The doctrine of separation, and I'm talking about scriptural separation, is not being preached in churches. In fact, just the opposite. That's why you have these seeker-sensitive churches, and they're not supposed to preach on any doctrine, and they're not supposed to preach on sin specifically, only in the general. That is a direct opposite position of Scripture, because the Bible teaches separation. And I'll prove to you the beauty and the wisdom of separation. Now, the doctrine of salvation, and by the way, if you're here today and you're not saved, you're lost, and you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. You're separated from God by your sins. Jesus Christ, God's Son, died in your place on the cross, shed His blood, was buried and rose the third day, and your faith, and you repented your sin, place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His shed blood for you, God will save you. And that's the only way you can get saved in the world. And so I want you to understand that. After you get saved, the next doctrine you need to learn is the doctrine of separation. Now, by the way, in Peter says, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is the next thing God says add, but virtue is a type of separation. Follow me. Virtue is a type of separation. And I want to preach today, and I'll maybe get into it tonight again, but on this thing of separation, let's begin reading at chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, verse number 14. Be ye not, there it is, not, that's a negative, unequally yoked. You need to underline that or circle that, yoked. Unequally yoked. This affects every realm of your life, every day of your life, every person you're meeting, every transaction, everything you're doing. There's a yoke going on, and God wants you to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, this is the basic separation issue. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what, there it is, fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God? Now it's moving from something. Watch the movement here in Scripture. It is moving from a basic separation with unbelievers and infidels and so forth to a ecclesiastical separation here. Because it says, what now? He says, what hath the temple of God with idols? Idols are worshipped. Idols involve religion. Now he's moving from don't be hanging around the beer joint to don't be hanging around false religions. Remember, we're talking about trying the spirits, testing the spirits. For ye are the temple of the living God. Got that? Ye are the temple. Your body is the temple of the living God. That's God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Watch verse 17. Here's the crown verse. Wherefore, because of all these things God just said. Now listen. I'm asking you to be something. I ain't nothing. I ain't nobody. But I'm asking you to listen for your sake and for God's glory. I'm asking you to listen to the Word of God today. I'm asking you not to get robbed right now. I beg you in Jesus' name, this message is one of the most important messages you will ever hear in your entire Christian life. Whether you believe it or not, whether you understand it or not, it is. It will determine whether your grandchildren and great-grandchildren are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll show you in the Bible that without separation, you will lose your generations. It says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye what? Separate. Be ye separate. Saith who? Not the preacher. Not the denomination. Not the church. But the Lord says, be separate. And touch not. Think about this. He didn't say not only just don't put your arm around it. He said, don't touch it. You stay away from it. The things that are not of God, separate yourself from it. Touch not the unclean thing. That goes back to the Old Testament where he said, put a difference between that which is clean and that which is unclean in your life. He said, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith who? The Lord Almighty. Now, that's an interesting verse. If you just took that without other scriptures, did you know what you would look like you were reading there? that God will save you if you separate yourself. It says if you separate yourself here, then he said, I will be a father unto you and you'll be sons and daughters unto me. But separation does not save you. You can be a monk in a monastery and die and go to hell. You can buy 5 acres in Montana and not come out for 6 years and die and go to hell. Let me tell you something. What he's saying here to you, I beg you get this. That without separation, even though you're a child, you will not have the manifestation of the Father in your life like you would have if you separated yourself from evil. Without separation, you will wonder whether you're saved. Without separation, you'll wonder if you have a Heavenly Father. Without separation, you will miss the intimacy and the sweetness and the joy and the walk of the communion and the blessing of having that relationship with your Heavenly Father. Now, it's important to believe. It's important to believe not every spirit. It's important to try every spirit and to know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This implies and expects us to have the resulting action of not any value of recognizing error. There's not any value of recognizing error and recognizing truth if we're not going to separate from that which is an error. That's the whole idea of trying it, is to separate from it, to remove ourselves from it. I want to read you what a deal here on separation. Separation in Scripture is twofold. First of all, from whatever's contrary to the mind of God. Second, it's a separation unto God Himself. Now please get that. You can separate yourself from the world and not even be saved. Separation will poison your, without separation, separation from the world and not unto God will poison your kids against Christianity. If you don't separate yourself personally unto God, you will ruin your family's faith life. Now, the underlying principle that in a moral universe, it is impossible for God to fully bless and to use His children who are in compromise or in complicity with evil. The unequal yoke is anything which unites a child of God and an unbeliever in a common purpose. Separation from evil implies a separation in desire, a separation in motive, and separation in act and conduct. Separation from believers at times. Separation from false teachers who are in, or those who are in those vessels unto dishonor. Separation is not from contact with evil. Separation does not mean that you're going to not come in contact with things that are wicked and terrible and wrong and evil. That's not what separation is about. It's not from contact with evil in the world or even in the church, but it is separation from complicity with that evil and with that action, that the full manifestation of the fatherhood of God will be manifested to His children. Unhindered communion and unhindered worship comes when we learn biblical, scriptural separation. Fruitful service comes from separation. God does not bear fruit through a life that is not separated unto Him. Christ, as always, is the model. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 7, that I asked you a while ago to turn to, and you can just listen to it. Christ was, watch it, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Yet Christ dined with sinners. Now you need to get this. Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and yet Jesus Christ went to sinners and ministered to sinners and even ate with them and conversed with them. That's what we need to learn how to do. You want your Christian life to really be effective. Learn how to communicate with the lost and live in this world and yet not be of this world. What's this? Maintaining your separation unto God, being your greatest testimony, irregardless of how you may fumble and stumble in your words. The Pharisees had an outward separation. It was mechanical. It was aesthetic. It was, I would call it, manufactured. It was all outward separation to make them look spiritual. Jesus Christ, by those people, were condemned as having lost his separation under the Nazarite vow, and that's also in Scripture. Biblical separation, as I said, to be in the world and not of the world. Our salvation comes first, then separation, and sometimes we can also entwine this with sanctification. Let me give you another word today that ought to get back into the vocabulary of Christian people as sanctified unto God. You know, your home ought to be sanctified. Your body ought to be sanctified. Your eyes ought to be sanctified. What sanctification means is that that has been set apart unto God. This pulpit is not just an ordinary piece of wood. This is a sanctified piece of wood used for the exclusive purpose to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ from. The pew that you're sitting in is just not a normal bench. It has been sanctified for the use of the work of the Lord. This building has no specialness in and of itself other than the fact that the building has been sanctified to be used as a place of preaching the gospel and ministering the gospel and the word of God to the world. Your body is not any more special than my body. But when we sanctify our bodies, then we are using it for the glory of God and not for ourselves. So when we talk about separation, we also want to bring into play the word sanctification. That is a work. Now watch this. Separation as sanctification is a work of the Holy Ghost in you, setting you, taking you from the world and setting you apart for the use of God's glory and for God's work. Biblical scriptural separation is a major doctrine of the Bible for the life of God's children. It is killing, the lack of it is killing the power and influence of true Christianity in America. It is separation from the world and its ways, its beliefs, its systems, its philosophies unto God's ways, God's beliefs, God's word, God's philosophy of life. My ways, God said, are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Biblical separation is on the basis of, number one, listen to this, love for God. It is not so you conform to the local church. It is not so that you conform to Sister So-and-so who you think is spiritual. Can I say to you that Sister So-and-so may not be near as spiritual as you think she is? Sanctification and separation, first of all, comes down inside the heart. It is based upon a love for God. It is illustrated by your marriage. How many of you today think that a spouse ought to be separated unto their spouse? That means that everybody else is excluded and only your spouse. Amen? Does that help you to understand the doctrine of separation? When you put a ring at the wedding, you know what that says? You girls know this. You're walking around, you're at the store, wherever you might be, and a guy takes a look at you. Did you know a lot of guys quickly look down to see if you're wearing a ring? Because that ring tells them that you're separated unto some man already. There's an out, watch this. Is not that an outward evidence that you are separated? Can I tell you that all separation is not evidenced by inwardly? That much of your separation is expressed outwardly, and that's all they can see. They really can't tell by looking at you that maybe that you're a Christian, looking at you that you're married, but when they see that ring, or they see the way you act, or you don't smile back a certain way, or you don't look back a certain way, you're not sending signals that I'm single and available. And by the way, the reason I'm using the woman is because the church is the bride of Christ and we are to be separated unto Christ. He doesn't want us mingling and mixing and piddling around and playing both sides of the field. You don't want that with your spouse, do you? How many here want your spouse to be loyal to you, separated unto you? You bet. It's nothing that's very hard to understand, very simple, but very critical to your marriage. Very critical to the success and the happiness of your marriage. It is on the basis of love. It is the basis for communion. It's the basis for fellowship with God. It's the basis for victory and triumph in Christian living. Separation is. It is the basis of your testimony. Separation gives testimony. I'm telling you, if you do not separate yourself unto God and allow that separation to be manifested, by the way, that's why it doesn't work to try to make your kids do things at a certain age, because if they've not been taught why to do those things, it makes no sense to them later on. That's why you want to pour Christ into the heart of your child. Pour the Word of God into your child. It's not me said, I said, we said. It's the Bible teaches. God wants this. This is what God says. pouring in the love of God. That's what caused a child to want to do things. Now, let me tell you something. I could show slides up here this morning, and I could tell, and you would tell in just that fast whether a person is separated by the way they dress, by the look on their face, their attitudes, their actions, so if they're separated. But as a testimony, I'll get into that a little bit later. Separation is a type of testimony. I remember this much. I'll tell you this. When I ran the Norwood Sale Barn over here, many of the ladies who worked in the office over there were from this church, and they wore dresses. Now, you listen to me good. There were men who came as far away, California and New York and Oregon and Idaho, because dairy business is a big deal, and it's, or it used to be anyway, in this part of the country. It's still a big deal, but not so much here. But we had those special dairy sales, and those guys fly in and drive in from everywhere. And do you know what I heard more remarks about than anything? You would hear two guys talking and say, man, what's the deal with all these women wearing these dresses? They've never been to Sale Barn in their life before where women wore dresses. Now, you know what? And then pretty soon they'd read it. Watch this. They'd read a scripture on the wall. What's the deal with these Bible verses on the wall of the Sale Barn? And let me tell you right now, the testimony of your separations, what it does, it gives you a leapfrog jump on the whole situation. Whatever you do in your home, somebody walks in your home and it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You've got to jump on the whole situation about what they'll try to bring into your home. What you put in your home, outwardly a manifestation of, and how you dress and how you talk and the movies that you have and the entertainment you have, they all speak about separation and they all affect your testimony. And your testimony, surely to goodness, we ought to want our testimony. I never forget Brother Larry Brown's coming here in a couple, 3 weeks. I never forget he walked into my house first time. Never forget this in my life. You know what he did, Kenny? This is God's truth. He come through the door. He did like, you know how he does his head like this. Yeah. You know how he does that? And then next thing he did, he looked around over there and he saw my entertainment center. Next thing he did, he walked straight over to my CD and video rack and started going through them. Yeah. You know what you say, Reggie, did that make you mad? Didn't make me mad a bit. There was two or three things I hoped he didn't find. But I said to myself, if he did, not that big a deal. You know, sometimes people have different tastes about things. Now, Brother Jeremy has a wonderful, wonderful Sunday school class. But I'll tell you what, I don't watch Andy Griffith anymore that has, Gomer Pyle in it. Because Gomer Pyle's a queer, and I don't watch him no more. Gomer Pyle is one of the first people in Hawaii who got married to his sodomite buddy. So I don't watch no Andy. You say, well, Reggie, what? Is that, yeah, it really bothers me. I will not watch. In fact, I've almost quit Andy over it. Yeah. I'm talking about separation. I don't want my kids watching somebody and thinking, man, he's really neat. He's really funny. And then find out he's a queer. Yeah. Yeah. You know what that does? That breaks down that wall of separation. They think, well, they're nice people. And that's the whole idea of trying the spirits, because you got to try the spirit because you think they appear to be good. They appear to be okay. Anyway, Brother Larry walked over and checked that out. You know what he's doing? I'm going to tell you something. Listen, Larry ain't playing no games. He don't want to come up here and play church and preach his guts out and then find out I'm playing a double standard at the house. You know what he told me the other day? I take this as a compliment. He told me something. He's got this, his wife passed away, you know. And he married again. He married an evangelist wife that passed away. And anyway, he got married. I don't know what to say about all that. I figured all that. I ain't been across that creek before. I don't know about that. You know, when I see somebody with one wife, I get used to being one wife, and it's hard for me to get used to the next one. I mean, it just is. Ain't nothing wrong with it. He married in the Lord, and she did too. Nothing wrong with it. But what I'm saying is that I didn't want brother. He told me the other day. He said, Reggie, he said, you know, I've got my new wife. And he said, we're going to come up here. And I said, Brother Larry said, I told him, I said, you come. If you open, you get here. And he said, well, we're going. He said, I want to take her to Christmas lights. And he said, boy, I told her, I said, you got to come up to that church. You got to go to that church. And he said, I said, you want to stay in the motel? You want to stay at home? He said, now listen, she's listening to me right here, Reggie. She's right standing right here. She'll know I'm telling you the truth. He said, Reggie, I don't hardly stay in nobody's home. Can't. He said, I'll tell her in her presence. I want her to see and be in your home. You know, so that's a blessing to me. That's a blessing. Now, I ain't nothing, nobody, but it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit. That what do people say? Well, Jeremy, I was like, in that passage. What are people seeing in our house in the way of separation? What are they seeing at church, but what do they see at the house? Now, it's a place of victory and triumph. Separation is a testimony. By the way, separation is that which perpetuates your faith to the next generations. It is liberty and freedom. It is not bondage. You say, Reggie, separation. Let me give you an illustration how separation is freedom. It's a little chihuahua dog. I've always got him up here. The little chihuahua dog, he's here in his pen. All right. He's there in his pen. And I want you to pretend there's a 6-foot chain link fence right here. All righty. And he's out there 40 some yards from the house. And it's 3:00 in the morning and the coyotes are hungry on a December night. And the coyotes are smelling that little chihuahua, and the chihuahua, he's getting scared, and he's going, yip, yip, yip. And that's the wrong thing to do around coyotes. They use that to bait them in. And the coyotes come up there, and there's a little chihuahua, and he runs up there, and all of a sudden, bang, they hit that chain link fence. Now, did you know something? The separation is what saved the puppy. And did you know what's going to save your children? You listen to me, is separation is what's going to save your kids. Separation is what's going to... You say, I don't like them fences. Well, then be coyote food if you want to.
Yeah.
Some of you kids say, I don't like what my mom and dad's doing. I don't like these walls they're putting up. Well, be devil bait then.
Yeah.
Be devil bait. Let them go out there and pick up the eyeballs and the hands and the feet on the ground out there somewhere where they chewed you up, spit you out.
Yeah.
All over this country. Because we don't want separation. Oh, we don't want to put up any walls around our kids. Let me tell you something, that's stupidity. God builds fences around His children. There's a loose devil in this world and you need to understand that. Now, it's a serious sin not to obey God in the matter of scriptural separation from the world. The Old Testament type is when Israel come out of Egypt, God took them out and He took them unto Himself. He told them, He said, you keep separate. Watch this now. He said, you do not mingle with the heathen. He said, I don't want you mingling with any of these people. He said, you go for the promised land. And He said, don't get sidetracked and don't take their daughters to your sons and don't take their sons to your daughters. He said, you do that, I'll curse you. He said, I'll whoop the fire out of you. You stay separate from this world.
Amen.
That's what God said to do. There is a separation law built into the universe. Watch this. I was up at the hospital the other day. Karen was getting surgery. That stupid bunch of nurses. I never seen such a stupid bunch of nurses and doctors in my life. They're all the time washing their hands. All the time washing their hands. All the time. I said, why don't you do something and quit washing your hands? You say, what are they washing their hands for? Separation.
Yeah.
You know what'll get in the hospital? You know what'll get inside you? If you don't, in the hospital, if they don't keep separated, staph infection.
Right.
Staph infection. They wash their hands constantly. Nowadays, they got them things all over the hospital. You can't go up now. Why? Because they're trying to keep your germs separated from the patients. We understand separation a lot better than we think to, but the law of separation says this. Watch it. The healthy do not infect the unhealthy with healthiness. I mean, they called me up and said, now, Reggie, you're healthy, right? Yep, get up here at the hospital and infect all these sick folks. We need 52 healthy people to get up here and infect these sick folks so they can get well. It never works that way. How many understands it does not work that way? In this sin-cursed, fallen world, the sin always infects the good. The little rot ruins the whole batch. If you don't get one bad apple out of that bunch, it'll ruin that whole deal. I'm talking this morning that, listen, healthy do not infect unhealthy. It's the contamination principle. There are situations I went to the hospital, I had to put on a mask, I had to put on this, I had to put on gloves, I had to put on a suit deal. I had to put on all kinds of junk just to go in and see them. Why? They want to keep that person separated from anything that could kill them. There is a spiritual same application. You and I have to do it. The bad will always rot and ruin the good if not kept separate. Sin always soils the soul. The dirt will always soil up the clean towel. Evil and wickedness will affect the Christian who does not live separated. Without separation, you will be pulled down by the world. I promise you. Separation at work. Separation in your family, separation at home, separation in the heart, separation in the church. Can I say something to you? There is separation constantly. God is constantly sifting this congregation. Constantly separating this congregation. Within a given congregation, there's always separate. And here's the deal. You've got to learn this now. We're going to get this a little bit later. But you must learn that separation is a growth process. And just because somebody hasn't separated to the degree you may have, God has shown you to be separated, does not mean they're a wicked or evil person. They may not understand. Maybe they've just not had the work of the Holy Spirit in their life like you have. But don't necessarily condemn somebody in this congregation because they're not separated in the way that you feel God has led you to be separated. Get that one down. You need to learn how to be separated at school. I'm telling you right now in this Christian academy. I promise you. I didn't come in on a last load of pumpkins. You send your kid here, he will need to learn how to live separated. Are you listening to me? And if you don't think so, you're crazy in a bed bug, you need to wake up and get your hand out, Sam. You say, well, I home educate my kids. So they're not like, oh no, are you that stupid? You think your kids can't get infected? I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of the most rebellious kids I've ever known in my life were home educated. I'm telling you, it will infect. It will contaminate. You need to understand that it's more than keeping them home. Never allow yourself to get familiar with sin and wickedness. It begins to infect you. Take your Bibles real quick. Now give me a little light on the pulpit, guys, if you can. My eyes are getting worse all the time. If you can, if you can't, that's all right. Deuteronomy chapter 22, please. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Turn it real quick. Going to do these three things. We're going to get out of here. And my, I want to thank you for being here. I want to tell you this morning, Barbara, I haven't told you I love you lately. By the way, if you're visiting, that's an elderly widow, and I love her. I better tell honey I love you too. I love you more than Barbara. Amen. I just look back and see folks, I'm glad to see them here. Barbara's been through tough times in her life, and I'm thankful she's here. Deuteronomy 22, is everybody there say amen? Verse number 9, let's look at it. Now here's the law of separation in the Old Testament. Are you listening? Amen. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Now, I don't know why. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nothing. But I just wonder why we've got so much cancer in America. I think when you go to monkeying with seed that God made, I think you're monkeying with the wrong thing. I'm not off into a health kick. I'll eat till it kills me probably. But I'm going to tell you this. What God said, don't you mingle seed when you sow it. Or it'll defile that fruit. Are you listening? You say, well, it looked good to me. You don't know but what it ain't been defiled inside what you can't see. Now listen, that takes faith. You say, well, we sowed this and this together and it worked out real good. You don't know that. It may appear to you it worked out real good. I'm telling you, when God says don't mix seed, don't mix seed. Now you say, Richard, how's that apply to me and my life? Well, in the New Testament, I'll be glad to show you. In Psalms chapter 126, the Bible said, he that weepeth and going forth bearing what precious what? Seed shall doubtless come again, bringing the sheaves with them rejoicing. You get over to the New Testament in the book of Luke chapter 8, and the Bible said, Jesus gave the parable of the sower. And he said, the sower took some seed. And the disciples said, well, we don't understand what you're talking about. And he said later on, he said, the seed is the Word. Now listen to me. Are you getting with me? Are you coming along this train here? We're moving on down the tracks. I'm telling you that whenever he said in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 9, he said, don't mix seed. He's referring spiritually to the Word of God. Are you listening to me this morning? He said, now if you mix that seed, you'll defile it. And the fruit of it will be defiled. How many of you starting to pick it up? How many of you are starting to understand why I practice separation about this Bible? Because if I preach out of the King James one week and the NIV the next week and the RSV the next week, do you know what I'm doing? I am mixing seed. And I'll have defiled fruit. And you say, well, it looked pretty good to me. They went up to the altar, snorted, and cried. You don't know. Listen, the fruit's going to be down the road. And if I never saw it manifested in front of my eyes, by faith, I have to believe God. Do not mingle the seed. Amen. Now you wonder why we got such a mess of Christianity in America now? We've mingled the seed. Do you know what? That fits Revelation chapter 22 where it says, if any man shall add to the words of this book, or the words of this prophecy, he said, I'll add unto him the curse, the plagues found in this book. Let me tell you something right now. I'm doing you a favor when I tell you, you get rid of the rest of them things. You use this authorized version. You use the Bible. Don't you be mixing the seed. Let me tell you, there's nothing but confusion. I asked a man here a while back, I said, Listen, if you were to, if the preacher was to ask the congregation to stand in your church next Sunday, he was after me about the authorized version. I said, if your preacher was to ask you all to stand next Sunday and read in unison from the Word of God one chapter, could you all do, what would happen? How would it sound? Well, he said, I don't think we could do that. I said, why? Well, he said, there's a lot of different Bibles people use in our church. I said, that is exactly right. And I said, you can't even be in one mind, one accord, like the Bible said to be, because you've got a bunch of mingled seed in your church. You say, well, I don't know, Reggie. Some of the fruit I see looks pretty good. You're not the one who sees that. If God says that it defiles the fruit, it defiles the fruit. By the way, I've seen the fruit and I don't like it. I've seen the fruit. The Bible's called the Word of God. That's why I want to tell you something. Not just other Bibles, but other authorities. If your church says that, yeah, it's the Bible plus our church dogma, that church dogma is a mixing of seed with the Word of God. It is adding to the Word of God, and the fruit will be defiled. Now, we're going to go somewhere. There's three little verses here, and we're out of here. But I tell you something, this will lock you down on separation. He'll tell you, listen, there, if you add other authorities, well, so-and-so said, brother so-and-so said, I don't care what brother so-and-so said, if it's different than the Bible, he putting that authority in your life, he is mingling seed. There needs to be one seed that is the authority of your life, and it needs to be an authorized Bible, amen. When you mix Bible seed with humanistic, human philosophies, you're mingling seed. A lot of different ways, and I'm not going to go into that, but listen, any conveyance of Bible truth that preaches, teaches, writes, sings, does anything that mixes the seed will produce defiled fruit. Get that down. The second verse, number 10, thou shalt not plow with an ox and ass together. Now, any old farmer could tell you that won't work. You've got a yoke, and you've got an ox, and you've got an ass, and what's going to happen is going to make it hard on both of them. And that just in the natural realm does not work. Now remember our separation text today when we started? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. All right, now, in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 4, the Bible said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. You say, Reggie, how do you rightly divide that verse, verse number 10 there, when it says, thou shalt not plow an ox with an ass together? The average person who is not interested in knowing the Bible, read that passage of Scripture and think they did their daily deed and not give a second thought of how powerful it can destroy a nation. But you take it to the New Testament, take that subject of the ox and the yoke and all that stuff, take it all the way through and see what the Bible says about it, it becomes very clear. Watch this. In 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18, the elders, that he said, honor the elders that rule well, who labor in the word and doctrine. And for the Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Now, what is he talking about there in Timothy? It's a pastoral epistle. He is saying there, churches should not muzzle the preacher that's plowing out the corn or treading out the corn. He said the labor is worthy of his hire. He's just saying, listen, just because he's labored in the ministry doesn't mean that he ought not get paid. Okay, that's what that's talking about. No big deal. Easy to understand there. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9 says, doth God care for oxen? Yeah, he does. God knows when the sparrow falls. God cares for oxen. And when an oxen... By the way, did you know what happened in that verse I just read to you? That an ox is compared to a preacher. That makes the ox a symbol of a preacher. When he says, don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, because that's what he's dealing with. Okay? 2 Corinthians 6, 4 says, be not unequally yoked together. All right, he's talking about don't be unequally yoked in marriage. Don't be unequally yoked in the ministry. Don't be unequally yoked in your mission. Don't be in your manners. We could go on with that. But now listen to this. The ass in Scripture is a picture, as the oxen is a picture of a Bible preacher, the ass is a picture of a false prophet. Now what does Deuteronomy 22:10 mean? It means that the ox, the Bible preacher, is not to yoke himself up with any false preacher, teacher, prophet. Got it? All right. Now, The ox and ass are not to be yoked together, number one. Secondly, they're not to plow together. We're to practice separation in the work of the Lord. That's why I don't work with men who use other Bibles. That's why I don't have men in this pulpit who preach with other Bibles. That's why I don't work with men who preach false doctrine. That's why I'm not looking to be the president of the Ministerial Alliance or even joined up to it, because the second you join the Ministerial Alliance, you've got to yoke up with people who believe false doctrine. I don't care what town you're in. I do not yoke up with ecumenical movements, because the second you yoke up with anything that's false doctrine, false teaching, you're going to start compromising to achieve those common goals. I'm not to be unequally yoked in the work of the ministry. I'll preach. If a Jehovah's Witness called me this afternoon and said, Reggie, we're having service at our church tonight and they all voted wanted you to come tonight, would you come? Now let me ask you something. How many thinks I ought to go?
No.
No. How many thinks I should go? Yes. Let me tell you what the difference is. Watch separation. I'm not any better than the Jehovah's Witness. Just a sinner saved by grace. Okay, should have been in hell. If I go and preach on hell and preach on their false doctrines, I can go. But if I go and placate them and try to make them like me, then I've violated the law of separation. Because they won't have me back a second time. By the way, you know what? Your separation, you don't have to. If you live separated and practice separation, they'll separate you. You won't have to separate yourself from them. Let me tell you something. I'll go anywhere in this world. I'll go to a mosque and preach the gospel if they'll invite me. But when I get there, they're going to hear something they ain't going to want to hear. And I won't get invited back. Are you understanding now? You apply that in your life. You see, because if you're not careful, you just separate. And say, I don't have enough new those people. That's God. That makes me look spiritual. You better be careful about that. I'm saying this. You better just ask God for wisdom how to practice biblical scriptural separation in such a way that you do not make yourself out to be somebody up here and them down there. But you better make them understand that when you give them the way of the gospel and you took a stand for Jesus Christ, don't worry about it. They'll separate you. I've got to run. Look at verse number 11, because here's where I want to get this thing at. Here's the third one. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Now, I have no earthly clue about clothing, and I don't know what that might give you the hives. I don't know. Might make you itch. I don't know. But let me tell you something. Old dumb hillbilly like me can say, well, you know what? God says don't wear a garment that has wool and linen in it. Reggie, don't do it. Don't do it. Whether I understand it or don't understand it. Okay? All right? Now, it's not my salvation, is it?
No.
If I did it, it wouldn't lose the salvation, would I? No. But God says, don't do it. But here's the deal. Thou shalt not, watch this. Oh, this is so good. This will bless your heart. If you're saved, this will bless your heart. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. A garment. Now, so we've got, it says garment. Literally says garment, doesn't it? A garment for a saved person is the garment of Christ's righteousness. It's our salvation. Now, if you'll think real quick, you'll get that so fast, it'll just boom, it'll hit you. Remember, we've been talking about trying the spirits, because these spirits will add to salvation. Can anybody tell me what garment of salvation is called in the Bible for the Christian? Let's look at it. We'll think about this, but a garment in the Bible is a symbol of salvation. That's what it's a symbol of. In fact, the Bible talks about they were clothed in fine linen, clean and white. Okay? Those that were with Jesus Christ, they were clothed in fine linen. The Bible says that, watch this, our righteousnesses is as filthy rags. See, we're clothed with our own self-righteousness. God says we're filthy. What happens when you get saved? God removes the filthy rags of your self-righteousness and your works and your religion, and throws them away, and then He clothes you with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and it is pictured as fine linen, a fine linen garment, white and clean. Think about this. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 7, Adam and Eve, and this is amazing to me. I ain't never been, but they tell me when you go in some of these, you know, way back, well, I even here in America, when they came into America, how were a lot of Indians dressed? What did the men wear? Huh? Loincloth. How many knows what a loincloth is? That's an apron. The Bible said that Adam and Eve made aprons out of fig leaves. And they clothed themselves. And then they hid themselves from God. They weren't hiding from anybody but God. All right? Why do you think that these dark countries that you go to where there's no gospel light in, they're running around dressed in little loincloths? And anytime somebody tells me they're going to wear an apron, I'm leery of them. What did God do in verse number 21? God killed an animal, an innocent animal, and took the skin of that animal and then clothed Adam and Eve. And it says He clothed them. And the word there, if you'll do the study on it, means that He clothed them from here down. Okay? That is a picture of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, before too long, I'm going to preach a straight-up gun barrel Bible message on dress. Okay? And I'm going to give you all the purposes for dress in the Bible. It's amazing study. It's wonderful. But in Revelation 19, verse number 8, it says, "And to her, the bride of Christ, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." So now we've got established that he said, you don't mix, watch this, you don't mix woolen with linen. In fact, if you study your Bible out, God says when you do all these things, it's an abomination to Him. If you do it. Like Jim said in his message, it's abhorrent to God. The message is this. Watch it. Everybody listen. You do not mix the garment of Christ's salvation by grace with a religious garment of works. And to do so is an abomination to God. Just this simple. If you say, on one hand, I'm going to put on the linen of Christ's righteousness, but it's how good I live, whether I stay saved or not, you have just put on linen and woolen, and it's an abomination to God. If your religion tells you that you've got to have the righteousness of Christ, but you also need the righteousness of the church, what we tell you to do and all these little things you're supposed to do, they are mixing linen and woolen, and it's defiling. And God rejects it. Okay? Let me tell you something. You ain't but to have one garment on. And that's the garment of Jesus Christ's righteousness through faith in His shed blood alone. Don't you dare mix anything or add anything to it. Add anything to that. What's this? If you go to Church Christ, they'll tell you you need to add water baptism. If you go to some of the, like the disciples, add that plus communion. It's linen plus communion. It's Christ, you go to Catholic Church, it's Christ plus the Mass. And Christ plus the sacraments. You go to Lutheran Church, it's Christ plus confirmation. You go to good old Country Bible Church, it's Christ plus not smoking, or Christ plus not drinking, or Christ plus not this, or Christ plus not that. Whatever we've decided our little set of rules is. But I'm going to stop right now. Some of you are hearing the clearest gospel you've ever heard in your life right now. Are you listening to me? Some of you better pay attention right now, because God Almighty is trying to make it clear to you that when you die and stand before the Lord, the only thing that's going to count when you have Christ's righteousness alone. That's why the Bible says by grace, it's how it teaches, it's grace alone that saves. Some people say it's Christ's linen plus holding on and hanging out. Let me tell you something. If poor old Noah would have had to hang on, I don't think any of us would be here. God put him in the ark. Amen. You don't mix linen with grace. With works of self-righteousness. Separation in James chapter 4, he said, friendship with the world, listen to me, is enmity with God. Whosoever the friend of the world is the enmity of God. Ephesians chapter 5, make no provision for flesh. He said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Psalms chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the city, and so forth like that. Separation is what is not being taught in our churches. Nehemiah, you know what? Nehemiah, there's some of them crowd wanted to come up and help him build the wall. He knew what they was up to. He knew they were going to defile God's people, mess God's people up. That's the only reason they was there for. He said, you get out of here. This isn't your work. 1 Kings chapter 11. How many knows what ruined the kingdom of Israel? It was when Solomon met and married foreign wives. He married the wives of those people that were worshiping those wicked, horrible gods that were sacrificing babies. And it killed the kingdom. This morning, he gave one of the greatest... all I can do to hold myself, Brother Jeremy. The real deal that got Hezekiah, you know what it was? How many spot it now? separation. The guys from Babylon came. He said, yeah, you can see everything we've got. I'll let you in on all of our life. If he would have kept them separate, they would have never lost the kingdom. You see how God protects the separation? I'm just saying to you, listen, there are so many things that you get. The Bible has, what's this? This is interesting. The Bible has more, 10 times more to say about false teachers, false prophets, and false doctrine than it does bartenders. The Bible says 100 times more about false prophets than it does about dope dealers. But we're too interested in dope dealers and bartenders and beer drinkers and this, that, and the other, you know, and this, that. And even immorality. And the Bible's got a lot to say about immorality. But I want to tell you this, church, this morning, it's probably not going to be dope. It's probably not going to be liquor. It's probably not going to be immorality that causes your generation to turn away from God. You can mess up and get right and God, and they'll see the grace of God and God will take you through. But if you get messed up in false doctrine, you're gone. Turn to Psalms 106. Had a phone call this week from a lady. Her and her husband are on a large business in Springfield. Psalms 106, verse number 35. By the way, it'd do you well to read Psalms 106 occasionally. This lady was talking to me about an issue, and they employ several people. And boy, she got off on Obamacare. I said, that's a bad subject with me. He and that. Oh, she says, I'll tell you what, Reggie, she said, this is the awfulest mess that's ever hit the American people. She said, it is going to ruin this country. It's going to break the strength of this country down and cause us to be a socialistic nation. And she went on for a little bit and watched what she said. Now, listen to me. Are you listening? All of a sudden, she made a statement. She said, and what eats me alive every day of my life is that my husband and I are conservative people and we've and tried to raise our family and said, we have 3 children and every one of them are stark raving Obama follower liberals today. And I'm like, and I said to her, I said, ma'am, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I said, did you send your kids to public schools? She said, yeah, I did. She said, Reggie, that's not what got them. Are you listening to me? She said, we've done well financially and we sent every one of them to an East Coast college. And every one of them come out of there against America. Do you know what got them? Not being separated. The contamination principle. I know right in this area, kids that have went up here to Springfield School, raised in churches you know about. Churches and families and family groups that you know about. You know them. And their kids right now today, they're sending them up there and paying their tuition and doing all this junk, and they're ruining and stealing the faith of their kids. And by the time their kids get out, they're sitting at their Thanksgiving and Christmas tables and can't even talk about politics, can't even talk about religion, because the kids are against everything mom and dad stood for because of separation. You can't go up there and sit day after day after day after day. I want to tell you, the only reason they didn't get me is because I had a praying mom and daddy back home. I promise you. They'll contaminate you. There's areas of separation. We're going to go home. I'll pick this back up a little bit tonight. What time is it, Brother Paul? 12:06. We're going to stop right there. I've got 2 pages. It'll do us for tonight. All right. Now, let me ask you something this morning. Are you listening? Look up here real quick. Some of you claim or think you've separated, but you've got all kinds of stupid movies at your house. You wouldn't want Larry Brown going through your movies, would you? What if I said to Brother Larry when he got here, Brother Ronnie Simpson, I said, Brother Ronnie, I want you to go every home. Here's the name and address, and here's the daddy's name. I want you to call and set an appointment to go to her house. Would there be doing what Jeremy said today? Would there be the scramble to get that back on, get that out of here, brother? So-and-so's coming. You see how that message you did went along with what I'm preaching? I want to ask you something. I'm begging you this morning. Now listen to me. Separation is a battle. After I saved, started preaching stuff, God dealt with me about TV. And for years, we didn't have a TV. The Gulf War started. Now listen to me. And I couldn't hardly take it. I wanted to see what was going on. I went down to the little store in Mountain Grove, bought a little TV about that size, and set that thing down. Oh, I watched them jets and them bombs and stuff. And boy, I justified that. But you know what happened? It took me a long time to get that booger back out of the house. Now, I've got a TV over there, but it's not hooked up to anything, and we only watch what we want to watch. But you have to watch that. I want to ask you, how separated is your internet? How separated are you in your music? I promise you this. I love you. I love you. I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm not trying to be hard. Can I tell you this? You listen to me this morning. You tinker around. I'd love for you to go other revival services. Go help yourself. I'd love for you to go to another church and have a good time. But you better watch yourself visiting other churches. You better watch yourself. It'll tear you down. You listen to me. I ain't coming on the last load of pumpkins, your boy said. Do you know why more singing groups go down? It's because they're playing everywhere in the world. Are you listening to me? And they're getting infected by junk. You know I'm telling you the truth. You can hate my guts, you can get mad at me, and do what you want to, but I'm telling you right here in this church, we've seen it happen. Used to stand, going to all these places, trying to make everybody happy. I want to tell you something, I'm for singing and preaching anywhere, as long as you take a stand. But if you don't take a stand, it'll get you. I love you. Let's stand together. Is there some things you need to go clean out this morning in your house? How about your clothing you wear? When you walk out of your house with the clothes on, does that give a testimony to what? What's it testify to? What's it testify to? Lord, we love you. We need you. Lord, I've battled. And Lord, we do battle. But God, we fool ourselves when we think, Lord, that Satan couldn't get us. God, I want to ask you personally right now, Lord, that you'd help me not to give in. That you'd help me, Lord, not just because of those I love. God, it's difficult sometimes, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, and show me, Lord, areas where I need to be separated that I'm not. For Lord, there's nothing that I'm enjoying that's worth losing the generations for. And God, I pray today that you'll help this church, Lord, to collectively know that separation is vital, it's critical, it's demanded, but it's wonderful. Lord, there's so many other things I wanted to preach this morning. I just pray, God, you help us all to come back tonight to finish this thing and balance it out. And Lord, I'm asking you. Lord Jesus, you know, Lord, that I used to kind of look bad toward men who said they wouldn't go to certain such places and do certain such things and preachers, Lord. And Lord, I just thought this being pharisaical. But Lord, they knew something I didn't know. They knew, Lord, if they piddled around there much, it'd get them. They knew they weren't strong enough to withstand it. And God, forgive me for that judgmental spirit. Help me, Lord, to look at a situation and see if it's biblical or not, just with not whether it just seems sensible to me. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all in this congregation take a good look at our lives, take a good look at the Word of God, and not to mingle ourselves among the heathen. For Lord, that's what gets us. Watching the heathens' programs, listening to the heathens' music, watching the way the heathen dress, watching what the heathen read, looking at what the heathen believe. God, I pray today that you'll put it in the heart of every young person in this church not to marry anybody, Lord, that's not saved and serving the Lord and serious about their walk. God, it'd be better off not to be married than to be unequally yoked. I thank you, Lord, for your love, for your word. Now, God, I pray that you'd help these people know that I love them and that, Lord, I want their best. And, God, I just pray that you'll continue to work in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you tonight.